My vagina hurts, and so does neoconservatism.
When I was a little boy, I had an imaginary friend. But like all imaginary friends, one day they disappear. 6 months ago,
who knows, maybe Martians are listening to Imagine Out of Space. But it doesn't matter where you come from, whatever your faith, because Madge Weinstein's here for all of us. You and me, baby. You and me, baby. You and me, baby.
Madge Weinstein.
Listening to Yeast Radio and Madge Weinstein. Someday it'll all pay off.
God damn it, that's not what I wanted to fucking play. This is what I wanted to play. Fuck me. Hello, everybody. It's Madge Weinstein, your favorite bloated Jewish. I'm Jewish, and I'm a lesbian on the internet. I'm also a fatbian. That means fat lesbian for those of you who may be listening on the Sirius for the first time and aren't familiar with my shtick. It's really not shtick, it's shtickle, which means fucking. Oh, shut up. That's my lovely Yeast 2 theme song. That's from my cunt Dr. Taylor A. Ross. Preceded by that was a wonderful song by Mr. Zichi, one of my wonderful songsters. I don't want to say songstress because then he'll think I'm thinking he's a girl or something. And, oh God, I'm hungry, bloated, angry, tired. I'm bulking. General audience, bulk. Did I say hungry? No, bloated, angry, lonely, cranky. That's what I am. I'm all those things and a bag of chips, as the kids say. Let's see, what do I want to talk about? A lot of things. I got stuff in my mouth. God, what the hell happened to me? By the way, I want to tell you, the newest episode of Eat This Hot Show, the weekly collaborative show that I do with some other fierce cunts, Wanda Wisdom and what's her name? Reagan's Fox. Oh, and by the way, Reagan's Fox is my guest for the second half of this show. So stay tuned and you're going to hear Reagan Fox is one of the funniest podcasts out there. Not joking at all. In fact, for me, he's the funniest, literally. So, and our guest host on Eat This Hot Show, it's sort of like The View, but very, very lesbian and gay. I don't want to say gay and lesbian because it's so sexist. But the guest is Cheryl Murkowski. And speaking of Cheryl, somebody left me a voicemail. Is this it? I think this is it.
Hi there, honey. It's Cheryl, your favorite 25-year-old beautiful woman, smoker, and donor of 3/4 of a lung. I'm angry at you, gentle audience, because of your apathy and refusal to help Madge clean out her vagina. She has to resort to placing a Craigslist ad for some crazy S&M, It's Pat, look-alike whore hole just to get her goddamn apartment clean. Now I know, but Cheryl, the PNS implosion cleaned for her. Oh yeah? Well then, why does the floor look like it's carpeted in wiry pubic hairs, Why is there a stench coming from by the computer? Oh yeah, that's just Madge. But seriously, this is ridiculous. Sorry, that was a little bit of dinner coming out. Anyways, for Halloween this year, I decided to go as Cunt-du-lazy-lice. I figure that I'm almost as dark as she is, so, you know, she ain't black anyone, you know. Okay. This crazy, stupid bitch. You know what I think? I think she needs to shut her gap tooth the fuck up. Why doesn't she make a gap commercial? Huh? Perhaps that's why she hasn't fixed her dental problems. I can't think of any other reason. Shit, I know that I'd get rid of these fucking brown, stained, disgusting, stench-ridden teeth if I had, you know, the money to, but maybe Georgie isn't paying her very much. Who knows? Stupid cunt whore fuck. If cunt do lessy lice doesn't hurt and smell, I don't know what does. Well, I gotta go, Madge. I have to go try to fix my iPod Nano. I put it in my cunt when I went to the airport because I didn't want them to take it from me. And now it's all scratched up. It seems that not only does it get scratched easily from normal use, but my pubic hair also has an adverse effect. Perhaps it was the moistness, the blood, and... oh, never mind. Anyways, I gotta try to figure it out. God knows AppleCare doesn't cover it. I called Steve Jobs about my iCunt shuffle. You know, iCunt. Never mind. So you remember the problem I had last week in my ass? Anyways, lots of shit. Just sorry. Keep touching myself. So anyways, he wasn't in. He was out at the store buying a new black girdle neck sweater and a very, very high-waisted pair of pants. Oh well, anyways, I love you, Madge. Keep up the bloat, and I'll talk to you later, honey.
Girdle spillover!
Oh, thank you so much, Cheryl. That was so sweet. I did a girdle spillover just for you. Someday I'll get over that. Speaking of, thank you for talking about that whore, that mass-murdering whore, cunt Dulezzi Rice. She is a cunt, and she is, well, according to her cousin, Vaginal Cream Davis, the famous female impersonator, she says that she's a little bit dykey. Let me see here. What do I have? There was something. Oh, I'm having amnesia. Amnesia. God, I like the way that came out of my face. Amnesia. Now, I want to read something because I'm glad you brought up cunt Dulezzi. I can't fucking believe this shit. Gentle audience, I can't fucking believe this shit. So today, this is posted 10/30/105, which is, of course, for Halloween. This is a new U.S. news report for Halloween. This must be an inside joke. Please tell me this has to be ironic or something. I just noticed it's dated Halloween. Okay, this is U.S. News and World Report. America's best leaders, colon. No, not Colin Powell. There's an actual punctuation there. Condoleezza Rice, U.S. Secretary of State. Condolcisa in Italian. I'm not making this up. Condolcisa in Italian means with sweetness, a musical reference. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, a classically trained pianist, can indeed show a touch of southern charm in her meetings with foreign leaders. But there is a steeliness behind that svelte... sorry. But there is a steeliness behind that svelte, well-dressed slip of a girl. As one of her mentors, former National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft, once described his first impression upon meeting the young scholar of Soviet and Russian affairs. For this is the woman who, later on an aide on Scowcroft's National Security Council, physically blocked burly Russian leader Boris Yeltsin from barging in on then-President George H.W. Bush without appointment. As the provost of Stanford University, the then-President Bush's national security advisor, and now AmeriCunt's top diplomat, her reputation for toughness has only grown. Well, sure, that's called being a dyke. What do you know, what the fuck are you talking about? Oh, that's hilarious. To many, Rice's Olympian career rose to be the first African-American woman to serve as Secretary of State. Well, you know, good for her for being black, but that doesn't make her not a cunt. You know, I'm sorry. Anyway, that doesn't make sense, of course. Well, anyway, I thought that was a happy Halloween, you know, with sweetness. Are you kidding me? like everything else in the Republican, neoconservative movement, rather, she embodies all that is false. All that is, she's a lying bitch. You know, fuck you, cunt. I'm so sick of these people that lie, you know, and they get people killed. You know, we just had 2,000 people, Americans, die. There's speculation is anywhere from 30,000 to 100+ thousand people, citizens, died in Iraq. People you never hear talked about, you never see pictures of them in this fucking country. You got to go somewhere else to BBC to see this crap. And, you know, and she walks around and she gets called the sweetness, the embodiment of sweetness by U.S. News and World Report. Everybody's fucking kissing her ass. Meanwhile, she's murdering. Where is this? But we're saving for freedom. We're saving freedom. Yeah, right. I got a fart. This fart is for Condoleezza Rice, that big mess. Oh, hold on, hold on. I hate her. Oh, good girl, Madge Jr. I mean, I don't have an asshole's name, but... That one stunk just for you, you stupid fucking bitch. I hate you, you fucking murdering whore. You know, get out of your fucking high horse. You know, go down there and why don't you just take pictures with dead bodies, you know, that you're fucking responsible for. You are a murderer. We won't forget it, too. You're going to be making documentaries like McNamara is now. You'll be an old, dried-up cunt. Well, we made lots of mistakes in the war, but nobody knew. Nobody knew. We didn't know. We thought there were weapons of mass destruction. Well, no, you didn't, you stupid cunt. We all, people like me, all the counterculture people, people like me and everybody I know knew damn well there weren't weapons there. And then you've got even the Congress that blank checked this fucking thing. So fuck you all. I can't even speak properly about this because it makes me so fucking angry. It makes me angry. Blah, 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 blah. I want to read something. I talked about neoconservatism last week or so. And yeah, I'm sorry for not being able to. I can't always be, you know, bleh. I can't always talk. I can't always talk. Sometimes my anger gets the best of me. I think everybody's like this. But we still have to try to express ourselves, gentle turds. We have to try to express ourselves, even when it's so hard because we're angry, because it's the only way you get practice. And at least the emotion can come through. And I don't claim, you know I walk all over my words and I contradict myself a lot of the time. But I'm trying to work it all out. And I think you can tell that what I'm trying to do is a good thing, regardless of how I do it. And, you know, I may contradict myself and say, well, Bush is this, maybe he's that, da 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 da. But I'm trying to work this all out in my head. But at no time do you hear me say, I think war is a good thing. I think we should stay the course in Iraq, because I don't fucking say that shit. I don't say that shit because I'm a total pacifist. I don't believe war is necessary. I don't believe killing is necessary. I do not accept it. I do not accept that war is this game that we have to play, that it's a necessary evil. I don't accept it at all. It is not necessary. It is disgusting. And it is not human. And how these Bible thumpers can claim that that it's part of life and see Jesus as a warrior, and it's all fucking crap. That's just fucking dishonest. That's evil. Not everything is what it appears, Americans. Sometimes people make things look like the opposite so that you don't believe it. Because if you're a normal, honest person, I think most people are, they're just normal, honest people, they believe that people in government are what they claim to be, when in fact they're lying scum. Now, Leo Strauss is the founder of the neoconservative movement that basically is running our country today, that Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush, Kantuskiza, Kantuleze Rice, all these people are part of this. And I talked about this, and then a nice person named Irvin from Canada sent me some links about Strauss. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. First of all, this is from Canada Research Chair Dr. Shaida B. Drury from the Routledge Encyclopedia of Philosophy. Now, this is interesting because it's from University of Regina, Canada. Regina. God, I got gas. Regina, I don't have to tell you, but I will, just to be clear, perfectly clear, that it rhymes with vagina, and it even rhymes with Fred-gina. According to Strauss, the fundamental issue that divides ancient and modern thinkers is the relative importance of reason and revelation in human life. Modern philosophers such as Hobbes and Locke exalt reason and believe that a political order can be founded only on pure rational and secular principles. But Strauss, and I'm inserting just to emphasize that he was the founder of the neoconservative movement, and he comes from this town where I live in Chicago, University of Chicago, exalt reason and believe that a political order can be founded. Oh, I'm reading that again. But Strauss believed that modern liberal project was doomed to failure. He thought that reason cannot provide the requisite support for moral and political life. What is needed is belief in a transcendent God. I'm sorry, I suck at reading. This fucking screen is so goddamn far away. I'm 56. I need my eyeballs back. What is needed is a belief in a transcendent God who punishes the wicked and rewards the righteous. Well, who knows who's who? Who's the referee there? Anyway, Strauss thought that the ancient philosophers understood this very well and that modern philosophers were seriously misguided in thinking that rational self-interest was a sufficient ground of social life. In Strauss's view, the modern faith in reason is at the heart of the crisis of the West. Reason has destroyed faith, and in so doing has opened the door to barbarism. Ancient philosophers understood that reason and philosophy have a corrosive effect on the city, as Strauss called the state. But by the same token, Strauss was committed to philosophy and had no intention of denouncing it out of hand. He therefore argued that philosophy must be kept hidden or secret, not simply to permit philosophers to avoid persecution, but for the sake of the people and for the well-being of the city. What the fuck? I don't understand. Strauss argued that philosophy must be kept hidden or secret, not simply to permit philosophers to avoid persecution. That's very scary, isn't it? Let's keep reading. In Persecution and the Art of Writing, a paradigmatic works, Strauss argued that all the great philosophers of the past understood the dangers involved in their own philosophical activity. Accordingly, they peppered their work with riddles, hints, clues, allusions, confusing language, intentional contradictions, and other forms of subterfuge designed to conceal their true thoughts. Strauss argued that every great book contained a dual teaching, an exoteric or public teaching and an esoteric or private message. The former was a salutary teaching or noble eye intended for the consumption of the many, while the latter was the dangerous truth intended for the few. Strauss's discovery of esotericism led him to advance unusual interpretations of classic texts. For example, Strauss argued that Plato wrote dialogues in order to conceal his true thinking. And contrary to popular belief, Strauss denied that Socrates was Plato's mouthpiece. He thought that in the Republic, however, it would seem that if we accept Nietzsche's premises, we must also accept his conclusion. If the truth is dark, then we must renounce it and live accordingly to the humanizing illusions, the life-giving myths we create for ourselves. By accepting Nietzsche's premises and rejecting his conclusion, Strauss cultivates an elite that is more vulgar than wise. Okay, the devotion of Strauss's followers, coupled with his esotericism, has made him a figure of some controversy. But one thing is clear, Strauss's followers regard U.S. liberalism as the embodiment of the legacy of modernity and its attendant dangers. And their aim is to rescue the USA from such modernity. Strauss taught them that this would be possible if they could win the ear of the powerful, hence their interest in government and public policy. Some find Strauss's elitism disconcerting, an elite that is radical, secretive, and duplicitous, an elite that exempts itself from the moral principles it deems acceptable to the rest of humanity cannot be trusted with political power. So this is really the philosophy, and anybody who thinks that I'm being crazy or conspiratorial for saying this, let me read it again. This is the neoconservative movement. This is the founder of the neoconservative movement, and this is his philosophy in a nutshell. So I'm going to read it again, just for emphasis, because we need repetition, you know? The devotion of Strauss's followers, coupled with his esotericism, has made him a figure of some controversy. But one thing is clear. Strauss's followers regard U.S. liberalism as the embodiment of the legacy of modernity and its attendant dangers. And their aim is to rescue the USA from such modernity. Okay, they're trying to rescue the USA from modernity. Do you understand what that means? That means control. That means Big Brother. That means going back in time. That means religion. It means going back. Strauss taught them that this would be possible if they could win the ear of the powerful, hence their interest in government and public policy. Some find Strauss's elitism disconcerting, an elite that is radical, secretive, and duplicitous, an elite that exempts itself from the moral principles it deems applicable to the rest of humanity, cannot be trusted with political power. Right. I'd like to have some feedback on that, gentle audience. It's such scary stuff, isn't it? That this is what Penis Cheney is running, and Penis Rumsfeld and Bush are all running all these penises and vaginas, cunt to lesy, all these. I don't understand why they're all penises and vaginas and all this. Anyway, what do I have for you now? Let's see. Ugh, God, this show's so fucking short. Anyway, let's see the serious. And then I got Reagan Fox after this. I want to play this clip. This from Brandon of Austin Exhaustion.
Hi, Madge. This is Brandon from the Austin Exhaustion podcast. And I was reading today's New York Times article on the Valerie Plame CIA leak, and I got to thinking that perhaps it was you. It was you, Madge Weinstein, who was responsible for leaking Plame's identity to the press, wasn't it? Is it not true you had a torrid lesbian affair with Agent Plame, and then outed her in a fit of jealousy when she jilted you for her husband, Joe Wilson? Could you please confirm or deny my suspicions so I can get on with my life? Anyways, congratulations on your serious move. I'm loving your show. Thanks. Brandon, Austin Exhaustion.
Yeah, it was me. Let's see, I got another one here.
Hey, Madge, you know what really makes me mad, besides the fact that your cunt smells and your shit smells like walking death, is these goddamn hurricanes. Every time we have a hurricane alert, we got to go out and buy batteries and more water. And the fact that I don't use a vibrator, well, I have to use them in the flashlights and the transistor radios. I'm shitting batteries right now. I've got so many batteries.
At least you're shitting.
Every fucking time the lights are going off and on, off and on.
On?
Everybody's freaking out everywhere. So whatever you do, don't move to fucking Tampa, Florida. Unless you want your power going off and on and batteries coming out your ass. I guess I can send these batteries to you, Madge, so you can run the vibrator up your cornhole. In any case, please send me money, because you know I'm going to need more goddamn batteries and more goddamn water. The year isn't even over yet. We've got another month of this shit. God help us all. And please, Madge, whatever you do, douche, baby, douche. And don't forget, don't go to McEnroePodcast.com, because it's probably been blown away by a fucking hurricane.
Listen. Don't tell me what to douche. I know when to douche, asshole. And you know what bothers me? Is when people send me goddamn audio comments where you can't hear the fucking audio because it's covered in goddamn fucking, what do you call it? Drowned out in music. Anyway, I have a call from Roger Smalls that just came in. Let's see.
Hello, Madge. Roger here. Hulk Hogan. Discuss.
What? That don't make no fucking sense. What the hell? Hulk Hogan? I gotta play that again.
Hello, Madge. Roger here. Hulk Hogan. Discuss.
You want me to this? Roger is going completely insane, I swear to God. He is nuts. He gets obsessed with people. He's obsessed with Adams Curry. He is obsessed with me. He's obsessed with Dave Weiner, I think. And now he's obsessed with wrestlers named and Barry Pepper, some like reality TV star from England. I don't understand. Roger, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't know shit about Hulk Hogan. I'm a lesbian. What do I know about wrestling? Although I did used to watch, used to love Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, GLOW for short. Oh my God, was that the greatest wrestling show ever or what? Matilda the Hun. We had, I would like to mud wrestle Dawn from Dawn and Drew. I think I could kick that bitch's ass. But that's another story. What do you think? Should I mud wrestle Dawn? I think that would be fun, huh? Who would want to win? I think I'd win, but she is an ex-gutter punk, so she might razor blade me or emo song me to death or something. Anyway, I'm fat. Okay, so what else? What else?
Girdle spillover.
Uh-huh, right. Oh, something happened. What's this? What is this? My Judith Miller hurt and stink. Yeah, I hope those indictments come soon. Anyway, it's time to go. Where's my fucking closing shit? I don't know what I'm going to play. Where's my fucking shit? Okay, everyone, thank you. You're listening to Yeast Radio. Stay tuned. People listening on Sirius can listen to the rest of this show by going to yeastradio.com. And the people who are listening on Yeast Radio, just keep listening. Bye, everyone. Hello, everybody. It's Madge, and I have a very special guest on the phone. I have the poetic bottom, Reagan Fox.
By special, do you mean retarded?
Hi, everybody. It's so good to be on
this show.
Are you okay? When did you get retarded? Are you taking that Jerry's Kids drug? Have you heard about that?
No, what's that drug?
It's a drug. I haven't heard about it in years, but it's a drug that makes you temporarily retarded. And it's called Jerry's Kids. Seriously, it was big a while ago. I don't know what happened. It probably stuck for people. So I don't know. Maybe your man witch friend. What's her name?
Rachel
Can. Maybe she. Maybe she's kidnapping them.
Maybe she.
Rachel lost weight, right?
Yeah, Rachel's been losing the weight. She's been melting it off. She's been Susan powdering it.
What diet is she using?
I have no idea. Some type of Jewy diet.
Jewy.
Lots of matzah and gefilte fish.
Ugh, yum. Oh, she's eating your mom out?
My mom's not Jewish, Madge. You know this.
Did I?
Maybe not.
I don't think I did know that. I remember thinking your mother doesn't sound Jewish because she has that Texas accent. And it's so, I just figure people all Jews have New York accents, even if they live in Texas.
This is true. This is very true. Or California. They still have that Jewy accent.
So your mother's a Jew lover, right?
Evidently, yeah.
She's a fan of Jewry. I can understand that. So, Reagan Fox, let me introduce you, because you've actually never been a guest on my show, which is odd considering that we've collaborated for some time now.
I've never been on your show before. I mean, never a guest?
Not like this. I don't believe so. We've been on Eat This Hot Show, our collaborative show with Worldwide Wanda. But I don't believe so. I was on your show because you'll recall I was on vacation with my girlfriend, Gussie Iskowitz, completely exhausted after leaving my job at the girl band, girl spelled G-R-R-L, and you so rudely made me be a guest on your show because you were too lazy to do your own.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, and see, you can't do that with a Jew. You can't cut a deal with a Jew, a Jewess goddess like Madge Weinstein, because then Madge calls you up a month later and she's ready to cut your hand off.
Oh,
if
right,
you don't
and
return
it's
the
when
favor.
You're the busiest. I'm going to recircumcise your penis.
Oh, delicious. Delicious, darling. That's delicious.
Yeah. So speaking of Eat This Hot Show.
Uh-huh.
Now, you and I are both fans of the Mommy Cast, right?
Uh-huh.
You like the Paige and Thretchen a lot. Now, as I do. Now, here's the latest. Now, I know that they've been a little bit upset with me in particular. I would assume you too, because you did slightly, a little bit parody them with love, of course, but... not always people can see irony, especially if they're used to just, you know, screaming at kids all day. They're not used to having clever people around who can, you know, encourage these sort of sensibilities. So I have a feeling, well, actually, I know for a fact that they kind of hate me because I said, you know, some nasty things on Cue Potter, but that was a long time ago, and I think we all change. So I'm hoping that Paige can be on Eat This Hot Show. As a guest host.
I would love it.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Paige,
I think we need to have Paige, and then maybe we can bring Gloria and Sylvia Hanger on to talk to her.
But I don't know, because here's the deal. So Noah from PNS Explosion is trying to cut the deal because he's been chatting with them.
I love cut the deal like he's some Goodfellas drug dealer.
Right, but with them.
Score us a tab of Paige. Noah, score us a tab of Paige.
A tab? Like a diet soda?
No, a tab. Like a tab of ecstasy.
Oh, I thought you meant diet soda. Because, you know, Noah on his icon in the internet has a tab, can of tab. Here's the deal. In order to get her on, I think we're going to have to agree to apologize.
I'll apologize. Totally.
Okay, me too. But then, and then if you have the Hanger Sisters on, well, that's your business. Wink, wink.
Right.
But you have to, you can always apologize again. You know, that's what certain people always do, right? You know, you can always just, all you have to do is apologize.
I think that it would be a really cool moment for just the entire art form of podcasting. So many of us make fun of each other all the time, relentlessly, but we do it from a place of love, not a place of hate. I don't think that either of us ever made fun of them to be hateful. It was just kind of you're so symbolic of everything that is not necessarily anti-queer, right, but it's so pro-family. And
right.
I don't think people, and
it's hard for people to get that, and I could see where they would misunderstand it, you know, but it's certainly not, it's not hate by any means. It's just, but I can understand when I write a Q-Potter post that says, fuck Paige and Gretchen, somebody should make a mommy cast, I mean an abortion cast, and then you do it. I could see where they could get misconstrued. I'm an open-minded woman. I could see that.
You're an open-thighed woman.
An open-gined.
Open-gined.
What did you say? Open what?
Open-thighed.
Vibe?
Thighed.
What do you mean? What is, like, I can't understand.
You have thighs, and you open them up.
Oh,
and
thighs, like chicken, like fried chicken.
Right, you merts. And sometimes I hear that you merts with an actual bone of chicken, a chicken bone.
Now, don't start with that, the fact that I'm missing a hand again. Don't start those rumors. I know
what you're
going
to. Oh, you're not
going
to like the latest
this.
Fox in the City, honey.
Oh, no. No, what do you... Now, let me tell something to the audience. I have to introduce... Reagan's Fox has this bizarre fantasy where he chops off people's limbs in his mind, in his mind's eye, and then he reports that to people. It's basically slander. He did that with Star Jones first... First, you gave Star Jones a peg leg and then a wheel. Now, why did you do that?
I'm just reporting facts here. That's
but she
all
doesn't. I've watched The View. She doesn't have a wheel. You would see it under her dress. She's not even that fat anymore.
See, you're in podcasting. Let me get all Omarosa on you, honey.
Okay. Pick up
honey,
the phone and be her. Yeah.
You're in podcasting, darling, sweetie, honey. It's right. Not the same world as television. There are tricks, honey, that they can do. They can superimpose a leg on you. I don't know why you have to get all racial with me saying I'm making things up in my head, because the truth is that Madge Weinstein lost her left hand in a wood chipping accident, and
Let me just hear me out.
And then it was replaced with an egg beater, and that became too cumbersome. She couldn't, you know,
already
she
just
felt
since
like a
Sunday?
Freak.
All this since Sunday? Are you kidding me?
No, that was part of the report on Sunday. And now you have a new hand, and I shouldn't tell you what I plan to give you for Christmas.
Yeah, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Let it be, and let the audience have to listen to your show to find out what I have for a hand. I'm guessing it's going to be a dildo. But I want to ask a question of this Amorosa. Amorosa, whose name sounds like a steakhouse, which I believe went out of business. Amorosa, don't you have a floor to clean somewhere?
Oh, no, honey. You will not get all racial with me. What is that, some type of black joke, honey? I do
no,
not
what
put
do you
up
mean?
With that. I'm Omarosa. I know Donald Trump, honey. You may think that you're somebody because you're some big old fat yeasty lesbian.
Listen,
but do not even try to get all ghetto with me.
Anybody with more than three syllables in her name cleans floors. And that's not so racial. That's syllabic. You can call me a syllabist, but not a racist. I'm not a racist. I'm only about syllables.
Have you seen Crash, by the way, speaking of race relations?
No, I heard it's very good, though.
Oh, you have to. I watched it last night. I cried.
It was
a really, really good film. It's kind of a preposterous film. Like, there's no way that all the events could possibly take place. Mm-hmm. But it was a really nice allegory, several, actually, for race relations and different manifestations of racism in the world today. It was very, very interesting.
Did they talk about vaginal yeast?
No, they did not, but I am going to venture to say that Sandra Bullock's character in that movie had a very rabid yeast infection.
Really?
Oh, yeah, she was a bitch. But it was nice to see Sandra play a role that wasn't some type of romantic comedy.
Oh, my God, I fucking hate her because of those goddamn romantic comedies. I want to slash her.
Do you know she is so pretty in person? I mean, just,
you mean you've seen her in person?
Is she an annoying person?
No, you said you've seen her in person?
Yeah, I've seen her in person in Austin because she was dating the lead singer of some band, I can't remember the name of the band, before she got involved with Jesse James or whatever his name is. And I was at an ice cream parlor and I saw her. And the funny thing is that she seems like she would be less attractive in person because I don't think she's all that great on
right,
film.
She's not. Yeah.
But boy, in person, she is gorgeous.
She's got
beautiful.
The star quality. She's got the shine, right? She's got
yeah.
the sort of shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, isn't that funny how when you see these movie stars in person, you can just tell, even if you don't know, because of the way, and I don't know if it's the makeup or the hair or the clothing they get, but it's what, you can always tell.
Right? You know who else is delicious in person? I'm getting a Star lot of Jones. Wisdom. I haven't seen her in person. Adrian Brody is just absolutely phenomenally good looking in person. And
good looking in the movie too, though.
Well, I don't. I think that he looks like some weirdo AIDS patient. Not that AIDS patients are weirdos, but like he would be a weirdo AIDS patient. In real life, oh my God, he is tall and gorgeous. I saw him at the Ivy. And this isn't like a Berbatia Clemens fantasy. Did I what?
Did suck, you suck his penis? Yeah.
I would have. He's that hot.
Now, what about Verbatia Clemens? Because I haven't heard her on your show or on my show, for that matter. Have you heard what she's doing these days?
No.
I heard that from Jason Flatowitz that she's making infomercials for colonics. For actually, I'm not even joking. Those colonic, what do you call that shit that makes you shit?
A colonic.
Yeah. They have like a electronic one, not electronic, but you know, in pill form. And she advertises them, and she plays a doctor with a mustache. Jason Flatowitz gets stoned and watches Berbatia Clemens every night in Topeka or wherever the hell he lives.
Who is Jason Flatowitz?
He's this hot, straight person that listens to my show, smokes pot, fucks black women, and then masturbates for me and sends me the goo.
Jewish, right?
Oh, yeah, Jewish. Yeah, of course.
He sounds very attractive. That? Flatowitz, with a name like Flatowitz.
Oh, I thought he meant because he has sex with black women. Now, you were raised by a black woman, right? Or was that a lie?
No, that's true. Ding.
What? Why is that? Because you don't... did you come from Gone with the Wind or what?
I grew up in Cypress, Texas. So, little area kind of northwest of Houston and very close to where Renee Zellweger grew up.
Uh-huh. Oh, she squints a lot. Is that why? Because it's so sunny there? Is that why she squints?
I don't know. Did you hear Kathy Griffin say that she thinks that Renee Zellweger is slowly turning into a little Asian woman? Dyeing her hair black.
That would be fun. Did she dye it black?
For a little while.
I know you like the Renee Zellweger, but she works my last lesbian nerve.
I love her.
I know. But are you still in contact with your mammy?
No, it's one of those things where I kind of have some guilt over it. Because
why?
Because I hate to cast black women in the mammy role. Unless I'm doing it ironically on the show or something like that. But I think that I have a lot of issues with it. And I haven't spoken to her in such a long time. And I don't know how I would throw the gay thing at her, and I don't know.
Did she raise you?
Up until about the age of 7.
So for the first whole 7 years of your life?
Yeah.
And when was the last time you saw her?
Oh, God. It's been a while. Probably when I was in junior high school. She tried to come to my high school graduation, but she came on the wrong day. I think my dad sabotaged it.
Really?
Yeah, because he's one of those Jew men, or was one of those Jew men, who very suspicious. Is she going to try to steal things?
What do you mean? Like do you think he was a mistress? His mistress? Is that what you mean?
A what?
Do you think she was your father's mistress?
No. Not at all.
And how come your mother was working, or she's just...
No, they got a divorce when I was really young.
So you were living with your dad, and your mammy was your mommy, really?
Yes.
So your mom was living somewhere else?
Right, right.
How come your mother didn't get custody of you?
She didn't want it.
Why?
My mother was not a kid person. She was the exact opposite of the mommy Cash. She was more Gloria Hanger than Paige. We'll just put it that way.
So she was drunk all the time?
Oh, she's still drunk. Are you kidding? And she's taking flying lessons now.
I heard you talk about that, but I thought that was not real. Are you serious?
I'm being for real.
Oh, my God. That is crazy. Well, she can go fly around with Adam Curry, maybe.
Does he fly?
And your mother dates Kenneth Lay? Isn't that what you said? She dates Kenneth Lay of Enron,
No,
right?
She lives in the same building as Ken Lay.
So it must be a really nice building, then.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's really fantastic. Mm-hmm. I need to scan in some pictures because it was recently in a magazine.
Oh, I want to see.
My website. Yeah, it's really beautiful. Everything's very ivory. It's kind of scary. You know, it's one of those things. Everything's white. Everything's pure, clean, and white. White and clean.
Oh, that's the rage. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I've seen those places where it's like minimalist, like sort of like Asian stuff, but white. Like tiny things. Like for
No, it's not. It's not too ching chong. There's really no... There's... There's really no like Ching Chong aspect to it. It's just very ivory.
Chi Ching Chong.
No, not Chi Ching Chong. Ching Chong. You know where I got Ching Chong from, right?
No.
I had this horrible friend named Jitin, and he's an Indian guy, so you know he's from Asia. And he used to always say, and this was back in my days of political correctness before I started the podcast, and he would say, I'm so hungry, I want to, oh, can we please go eat Ching Chong food? And I actually used to ream him out all the time. I was like, do not bring your racism, your Indian-based racism to this plate, honey.
Did you make a gong sound when he said that, though? Where did the gong sound come from?
Oh, well, you know me. I love those sound effects. I love that search engine for sound effects. I could just stay on that for hours.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Oh, yeah. There's a whole search engine for it.
Where do you do that?
I'll give you the link.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I thought you'd just make them yourselves.
Oh, no. Yeah, I rolled in the gong, and then I put my...
Well, you know, there was that guy... Remember that guy in the movie Airplane who could make sound effects with his face?
No, that's not Airplane, that's the police one. Police Academy.
Oh, Police Academy, right.
Get with it, Madge, you with your wooden hand. Stop thinking with your wooden hand.
Listen, I want to talk about The Desperate Housewives, because I finally started watching them now that I can downbloat them. So I'm
so
on
good.
Like number 13 or 14. And I have to say, I am so in love with this Brie, the cheese woman with the red hair.
Mm-hmm.
I just love how she's this... Okay, here's the here. This is the, now. I've only don't spoil it for me, but yeah, I'm only on like episode 14 or whatever. So here's the funniest line in the series for me so far, when like her husband, you know, he has, you know, they're in the middle of in and out of divorce and all this shit, and the problem is that he is kinky. He likes to be dominated sexually by like a mistress and everything. He finally gets up the nerve to tell her, and she's of course this prim and proper wasp who doesn't know anything about anything. So he finally tells her, and then she reluctantly agrees to do this S&M with him. And then he lectures her when they're getting ready to do it for the first time. He says, okay, we need a safe word. How about Philadelphia? She said, no, my sister-in-law lives, or my cousin lives in Philadelphia. Let's try something else. He goes, well, you think of one. She goes, Boise. He's like, it can't be a silly name. It's got to be something serious. She goes, what about Palestine? And he goes, okay, Boise.
Madge, you are like the Denver of queer podcasting.
The Denver? John Denver?
No. The city, Denver. Because you are always at least 10 years behind the times. You're talking about Desperate Housewives from last year.
Yeah, last year, because I have to catch up.
You do. It's such a good show. I love it.
Yeah, it is. I like how they're, I like it.
I told you who my favorite character is, right?
Yeah, that slut.
I love her, that Nicolette Sheridan.
Yeah, she's good. I like them all, really. I think they're all very funny. The only, like, who don't I like? Nah, I like them all. You know who I don't like is that fucking, and maybe he's off the show by this season, I don't know, but the one who is in love with, and that whore Terry Thatcher, I don't like her either. I don't like her. She's like in the Renee Zellweger category. Like, all she does is stand around and look cute and lose
weight. Let's call
her
Terry Snatcher.
Terry Snatcher? Snatcher. But the boyfriend of her in the show, he's so awful. He's like, he's doing this really bad Jimmy Stewart impersonation, and I just want to slap the shit out of him.
Oh, he's so hot. The plumber?
No, I don't think he's hot at all. I think
oh, my God. Annoying. I would let him clean the rust out of my tubes.
Well,
love that man.
The garden boy I like if I was a straight, though.
He's actually a similar age to me. I'm 29. He's, I think, in his mid-20s. I'd let him trim my bush.
I'm sure you would.
It's hot. He's very spicy. Latino. Ay, ay, ay.
I got to fart into the microphone just a second. Oh, I got a lot of gas today. I ate it What is that? Quiznos I ate, or Quizmos. Hold on. Oi. Oh, my God, it won't stop. Oh, my God.
Ugh. Was it soupy?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, you... It's stinky. I wouldn't call it soupy. More like a bubble tea.
What's a bubble tea?
Oh, my God. You need to come to our Ching Chong restaurants. We have a lot of Thai food here. A bubble tea is like, it's sort of like a Thai iced tea where it's kind of spicy a little bit. It's like a milky tea, like rice with rice water and maybe some jasmine and whatnot. But then they put in these big tapioca balls in it, and you got to suck them out. It's like a cum. It's like a big wad of cum in your, not that I would know, in your tea, in a plastic cup. And they give you this big straw so you can suck the cum bubbles up.
Do you pick it up with your wooden hand?
I don't have a wooden hand. I have two flesh hands.
I know it annoys you. I like to pick. I'm just continuing my cycle of abuse.
I have a plastic prolapse. Yeah, speaking of... I wonder if we should talk about that. You know, we had so much scandal. Should we or shouldn't we?
Oh, I don't think that we should. Because it's starting to blow over, and it blow over.
Right. We're talking about your brush with celebrity there a week ago.
My brush was... Well, we can talk about the way that everybody blames everything on me, which is fucking retarded. Like, I'm so tired of it.
Right, because everything's your fault.
Everything's my fault. Like, if you make a joke on the show, on Eat This Hot Show, about it, it's suddenly... Reagan will just not get off it. I'm like, oh my God, I laughed at something that I think is funny. Kill me.
I don't get it. But you know what I do? I do notice that people are generally nicer to me, even though I'm a mean cunt, because they think they have to be nicer to me. You know? And I think that that... You know what I mean? Fuck that. I don't know what I'm saying. Like, well,
I make people disappear. That's all I'll say. That, what's his name? That gay sexcapades guy and I got into a fight. I made that motherfucker disappear.
Yeah, what happened to him? I haven't heard his 9-inch blah, blah, blah shit anymore.
Yeah, you know, I don't like the guy, but I think that he should continue to do a show. I think that it fulfills something like the queer casting community. Yeah, I made people disappear from Eat This Hot Show. I'm kind of like in Mommy Dearest when Christina's looking at all the pictures with all the men's faces cut out, and she says to the little boy, "If she doesn't like you, she makes you disappear." That's me. Ooh. I'm very Joan Crawford.
That's good. Speaking of, did you see this Podcasters in Leather calendar that Roger Smalls made?
Oh, my God, I'm going to throw up.
You've got to see it. It's hilarious. I'm in it, too. So is, like, Dawn and Drew and some other people. You have to see it. Roger made us all, put us all in leather gear and stuff. It's a calendar. You can print it out and wear it.
I think Roger Smalls is a fan of my show.
Oh, I'm sure he is. In fact, I know he is. He's told me. He said, "I really like Reagan's sense of humor because it's like mine."
I need to listen to his show.
Yeah, I mean, he puts out a show maybe once every week or two, and it's like 5 minutes. So it's not like there's a lot of listening involved. But he does he's great. You know, he's great because he calls in on my show occasionally and he asks about, you know, if he's gay because he looks at men. I don't remember.
He's a homo. Roger Smalls, you're a big old homo. Yeah, I think I
you
saw
think
him.
So?
No, I don't know because I haven't listened to the show, but I am going I'm going to make an effort to listen to the show. Yeah, I think he left a comment on Podcast Alley. Yeah, I hate to get too meta and talk about podcasting on a podcast, but I really like that Soccer Girl Incorporated, and I spent a long time making fun of her. I still have yet to listen to an entire show, but that has more to do with my dissertation and stuff like that. She's really interesting. I think we have very similar shows.
How so?
Very sex affirmative, poetry. It's kind of a hodgepodge. We play around with format. It's very similar flavor. She's kind of like the sexy female unibrow version of me.
And is she humorous? I mean, is she funny?
I don't know if she's necessarily funny, but she's got this kind of bad girl thing going on. You have to give it a show. Her unibrow is very unique. Her unibrow connects her two eyebrows, and then there is a line of hair that goes down to her twat.
That's disgusting.
She's very Italian.
It goes all the way from her eyebrow to her vagina?
Yes, it's one line that just cuts her body in half.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's delicious. It's delicious, darling.
Well, I'll give it a shot. Who? What other shows do you like?
To tell you the truth, I've not been listening to stuff lately because I've been so fucking busy.
Yeah, but you still have shows you like Keith and the Girl.
No, I don't listen to them anymore. And it's not because I don't love them, because I obviously love them. Actually, I emailed them and invited them to come on to Eat This Hot Show to co-host at least one of them, and they never fucking responded to me.
Really?
Yeah. And they'll listen to this because they will go to the Podscope and type in their name. It's very upsetting to me, Keith Hemda.
Say it slowly so that they can hear what we're saying.
Keith and the Girl, Keith Malley, Hemda, who I do love, Hemda.
Let me say it too, in case they only do like certain dialects. Keith the Girl. And what's the other one?
Hemda.
Okay.
You would like Hemda. Hemda's a great Jewish goddess.
I like her, but, you know, the guy, he's just sort of intimidating to me. You know, he reminds me of a gym teacher. I can't deal with it.
I think he's fabulous.
I appreciate it. But they should be brave and face people. Not everybody's going to be an ass-kissing fan. You got to deal with it, you know?
No. They realize that. Right. I think that. I'm always defending them, but I love them. I've said on several occasions that I wouldn't suck Keith Malley's dick, but I would suck his voice's dick. He's a sexy voice to me. Very sexy voice.
But would you suck his voice with the accent or without the accent?
With the accent.
Really?
Definitely with the accent. Yeah, and I might even go down on Hemda's voice. Well, down on the pussy.
That surprises
voice.
Me about Keith, because Keith doesn't enunciate, especially at the end of his, you know, words. And that surprises me because you're such a grammar freak, you know? It surprises me that you would go down on a voice that doesn't end its words.
Well, he's just got that bravado that I like. I like that bravados. Oh, yeah, I like it.
I like a vibrator.
You like a vibrator and your wooden hand.
Enough with the hand already. I'll get a splinter. All right, so what do you got coming up in the performance world?
I am about to go to Boston, and I have a few performances scheduled at the National Communication Association Conference. Actually, I am performing on the same panel as a really wonderful deaf performance artist named Terry Galloway, who is amazing. I'm a big fan of her work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really...
That's at this national... what did you call it? National what?
Communication Association.
Oh,
conference.
The Hugh Downs. Because you ate out Hugh Downs' ass, right? Because you go to the Hugh Downs school.
Well, you I only balls, met him. Right? I just met him. We talked.
You met him. You didn't say, like, you know, stick your finger up his whore hole.
No, I don't think that he would be into that. But he's a great guy. I like that guy a lot.
I was
very
like Hugh Downs when he was on 2020.
Yeah.
And I even like Barbara Walters, I have to admit. But now, like, the news is getting so dumbed down, you know? They just get these retarded popsicles on there.
Oh, don't even bother to look at the news pages today. They're awful.
Why?
Just fucking, just retarded. You know, I'm very tired of living in a country that's at war, that has had humongous hurricane after humongous hurricane consecutively, you know, and they just keep coming. Yet I go to these fucking Yahoos and MSNBC and Fox News, because I like to keep my enemies close, and they're reporting on people stealing pictures of Britney Spears' baby and how Jennifer Lopez is dying to have an Oscar. Give me a fucking break. I'm tired of it. I wash my hands of this country.
Yeah,
at least the media.
Ridiculous.
You know, we had one moment of glimmering hope that the news stations would turn a 180 during the fucking Hurricane Katrina, where they were asking hard, pointed questions, where they were doing what the media is supposed to do. And it was such a... they blue-balled us. That's what they did. I got all hard and erect and excited that we may live in a critical culture like it was the 60s, you know, that cultural turn where people were questioning the government because of the right. fucking war, and we had civil rights and, you know, social movements, the second wave of feminism. I thought maybe now people will wake the fuck up.
But you see, the thing is, I think a lot of people don't understand it, is the 60s movement, that activist peace movement, was a failure. It was a failure because they squashed us. You know, it didn't end the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War ended years later because, you know, finally the press decided to have balls and show us pictures of casualties. And finally the government pulled out.
They all contributed because there were so many social movements going on at the time. I mean, yeah. You think this is – people are starting to become disillusioned with the government because JFK had been assassinated, you know, all these different things. So you can't say that it was a failure because each of these separate movements, each of these different huge events that happened in that era contributed a puzzle piece to make people think critically.
Right. I agree. But I do think – it's a failure only because it died. It died. You know, just because the Vietnam War ended doesn't mean all of a sudden the world was perfect.
And no,
really
but
haven't
I mean,
had a good movement since then.
Well, I've had a good movement, but it was a bowel movement.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I wanted to tell you this, speaking of, because you broke into a little Jerry blank there, Jerry Jewel. I got to tell you this. This is spooky, okay? You'll like this, though. It's very Strangers with Candy. It's kind of like Strangers with Candy. Conspiracy theory. Okay, so what is the gay art teacher, what's his name?
Mr. Jellyneck.
Right. Okay. Now do you know what Amy Sedaris's brother does as an occupation? Not David Sedaris, but the other brother. Do you happen
no.
to know?
No.
Okay, he does floors. He's a floor finisher. He puts in floors and he refinishes floors. I know this because I have a relative that lives in the same town in North Carolina. And she had him over for an estimate. And she saw Sedaris on the van. She said, oh, is that the same Amy Sedaris? She's like, yeah, that's my sister. So I'm thinking about this. I thought, oh, that's nice. Now, I put in some new cork floors about 3 years ago. Didn't do a very good job, but that's beside the point. So I had to print something out, some insurance forms yesterday. And I didn't have any paper, so I looked to find some old paper that had a clear side. So I pulled out the instructions for this cork flooring that was in a drawer of mine for a few years. And I look at it. It says cork flooring notes by Jellyneck Cork Group. Do, 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 do. Okay. Wait a second. So what happened is, general audience, I'm sorry, but the audio got fucked up at that point, so I have to end the Reagan's Fox abruptly, and let's find a closing song to play, a closing. Oh, fuck it. I don't know. This one. Whatever. Play. Ugh. Oh, that wasn't it.
And now,
fuck me. Oh, forget it. Bye, everyone.